Dear Cheap Astronomy, could bacteria have hopped aboard the Venera probes and seeded Venus's atmosphere? So, as you may have heard, there's phosphine in them there clouds of Venus, and the astronomical community is cautiously excited, but also ready for a gentle letdown if it turns out not to be such a big deal after all. The apparent big deal is that phosphine is produced on Earth by anaerobic bacteria in substantial quantities, and it's not otherwise produced in substantial quantities on Earth by non-life processes. So, prima facie, the Venus finding is interesting, but we've known for a while that phosphine is also produced on Jupiter and Saturn, where it's never been considered to be produced by life. Instead, it's generally accepted that the ongoing synthesis of phosphine in the gas giants is because of the enormous energies generated in the massive convective storms in their atmospheres. But hang on, since when did Venus not have an energetic atmosphere? It has a surface atmospheric pressure 90 times that of Earth and a lead-melting surface temperature of 465 degrees Celsius. Venus doesn't rotate fast, unlike Jupiter and Saturn, where their fast rotation generates powerful lateral convection forces in their atmospheres. But we do know there's a super-rotation of the upper Venusian atmosphere due to atmospheric cycling from the hot sunlit side to the cold dark side. And there's also a lot of vertical convection from the hot surface upwards, all of which we know drives some pretty substantial hurricanes across the planet. And the phosphine chemistry of Jupiter and Saturn also has a photochemical component. So it's not just about their atmospheric convection energies, but also about photons. And Venus's upper atmosphere is exposed to a lot more photon flux than Jupiter or Saturn's, given it's the second rock out from the Sun. So yep, once again, cheap buzzkill astronomy enters the debate and smothers all optimism with its whining negativity. Okay, there's phosphine, but just because no one knows now of a non-life process that could produce it, it's quite possible we'll identify one through further investigation. So, jumping to the conclusion that therefore it must be life is a bit of a stretch. But what the heck? This is where we add our own wild speculation. Could it be that the phosphine on Venus is actually the product of bacteria from Earth that got there aboard one of the Venera probes? The first Venera probe to enter Venus's atmosphere was Venera 3 in 1966, followed by various landers with varying success up until Venera 14 in 1982. And after that, there were the two Vega balloon missions, where balloons were floated in the upper cloud layers of Venus for at least 2 days until the batteries ran out, and they may have stayed floating much longer than that. So it's entirely plausible that we could have infected Venus's atmosphere with Earth bugs, but whether transplanted Earth bugs could survive and reproduce on Venus is a whole nother thing. The phosphine on Earth comes from anaerobic bacteria, but most anaerobic bacteria are not extremophiles. Anaerobic bacteria mostly like warm and moist environments, such as in your intestines. If you transferred all the species of anaerobic bacteria from your intestines to Venus, they'd probably all die within seconds. If you transferred all the anaerobic extremophiles from a nuclear reactor's cooling pool to Venus, they'd probably all die within seconds, because Venus isn't a nuclear reactor's cooling pool. Earth extremophiles can cope with a lot, but at the end of the day, they still need water to grow and reproduce. Of course, there might be a totally alien kind of life that lives in Venus's clouds, but if that life is so different from Earth's, why should we assume that it will still produce phosphine? There's an awful lot of long bows being drawn here. And while we're airing doubts, there is still some doubt about whether we have actually detected phosphine, at least in the levels reported. The Venus data was collected by the James Clerk Maxwell Submillimeter Radio Telescope in Hawaii and subsequently confirmed by the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array in Chile. So the data is very new, certainly deserving of publication, but it still awaits more review and more thought before it achieves general consensus. So, as we like to say here at Cheap Astronomy, right now it's probably best just to watch this space.